It's a great day to not live in Canada. It's the news according to me. Good morning. Hey, turn down the music, please. Turn it down. It's too loud. I'm in no mood to speak over, to shout over the music this morning. I'm going to be shouting enough today with the show. It is Tuesday, May 31st, 7:54 a.m. 2022. I had a little snafu last week, apparently. A snafu. It's not a new virus that's going to lock down the nation. It's just I made a mistake. I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. I ended up this weird thing was going on last week. I had last Friday, I think it was Friday, my last show. And when I went to put it up on Podbean, it apparently did not upload. I tend to just do it and kind of wait for it to upload, and then I hit the send button and it goes. And I kind of walk away from it. I did not follow up to make sure it had gone through until this morning when I sat down here at the home office, the home studio. This is my home, my residence, I guess. Not the international headquarters. And I realized that there's no show up on Podbean. There was on Castos, but not on Podbean. So I'm not sure how many I think of my listeners got. They didn't get the show on Friday, which would explain the numbers of listeners, because there weren't anybody listening, because there wasn't any show to listen to. It was all kind of weird. Speaking of which, the home studio here is going to go up. It's finally going to go through some upgrades. Right outside my door is a new sound booth. I just have to get it through the door. It's a little bit of a problem right now. I may have to work out something that I can, I don't know. I'm hoping to get it through the door without any damage. Let's just put it that way. This thing weighs like 800 pounds. Well, maybe 400 pounds. I don't know. It's quite hefty. I bet it's 500 pounds, because the door itself is about 100 pounds. So it's a hefty device. Yeah. That's no joke. Hey, by the way, I've got all this stuff from Biden all these clips that I keep forgetting I have. And what is that one? I don't even know what that is. I don't know. There's always this. Well, that didn't work. There's always this.
How dare you?
That's always that. Good old Greta. And of course we have, I thought I had more than that on here, but apparently I do not. I thought I had a bunch of Joe, stuff from Joe here. There's this one.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Make sure you have the record player on at night. Yeah, there's three things I want to talk about today. Well, four really. One that really matters, and the other three we can just talk about. One is Canada now. Apparently, you're not going to be able to buy a handgun in Canada anymore. We'll get into that a little bit more. There's the Associated Press just put out a thing. Apparently, Justin Trudeau has put out a statement that he's going to do this and that and the other thing with handguns. Because he has to do this. That's the way he talks. That's the way the guy talks. Now, I noticed in this particular speech, he did not do that. So apparently my criticism of him doing that has gotten back to him now. This is dictators and thugs. They do this. They take away your handguns. They take away your guns. And if someone busts into your house and wants to take over, they will take away any means of defense you have. If someone wants to take over your life, that's what they do. That's what they start. That's how that starts. Oh, it's okay. We don't need those guns. We don't need guns. That's what England thought. Well, we'll get into this. We'll get into that later. I already go down that path. So the other thing is, the Sussman trial. We're going to talk about my theory on everything that's going on here and what's going to happen with this, with the verdict, where they're now out verdicting, or they're deliberating very deliberately. And we'll find out how that goes. Then we have the other thing that's going on is the, amazingly enough, of course, we're still discussing what happened down in Texas. And there's more and more coming out about this whole thing. It kind of depends on, you know, what you believe on the official report and everything that's going on, and all kinds of stories flying around about it. So we'll try to weed through some of those things. First and foremost, I know this is why you tune in. Is you have to know, you need to know. Your life depends on knowing what's in my cup. This morning I have two. So it's like what's in my cups, plural. I have in my coffee mug, which has never had coffee in it that I'm aware of, I have a cup of chai, just vanilla chai with French vanilla creamer. It's not the best chai in the world. This chai is not as good as the other chai I was drinking. In fact, it's not. I've never found as good a chai as what I used to get from Walmart, from Sam's Club. Sam's Club had this vanilla chai that was awesome. I should have bought like a pallet of it when I had a chance. Then all of a sudden, all they had was the spiced chai, which I don't really care for that much. And then all of a sudden, that went away. I haven't seen any. It was Mystic chai. Maybe the mystery got solved and they found out what they were making the chai out of and they had to stop. I don't know. And then there was the other cup I've got over there. I've got this other cup. It's my cold cup. I've got some apple cider in it. It's pretty good apple cider, actually. This time of year, it's kind of rare to get this good apple cider. It's pretty good stuff. It's actually pretty good. I should put some ice in it, though. That's going to get warm for you. It's good, really good when it's cold, but it's okay when it's not cold. But even if it's lukewarm, I'm not going to spew it out of my mouth. Just put it that way. So there's the Associated Press. Let's get into this. Let's just talk about this for a minute. Let's see if I actually have this pulled up on my. I don't know. What is this one? Let's find out what this one is.
Well, yeah. That's how it always starts.
Yeah.
And later there's running and screaming.
Yeah, that's a famous line from the movie Jurassic Park. The Where are we going? Jeff Goldblum, is that his name? What happened to it here? The Associated Press. Where is the guy? I don't even see it now. It's mixed in with, here it is. Associated Press. We're going to play this. It's about a 1 minute, 1.5 minute long video. I might try to speed this thing up just for the sake of. In fact, I think I will. I'm going to speed it up just for the sake of time because we know time is precious. Here, I'm going to go with 1.25 times the speed here. We have this is Justin Trudeau making the official announcement, and notice he's not doing the breathing thing where he does that, where there's this dramatic pause. And then he takes the breath before he doesn't. He doesn't do it in this. I'm surprised he's not doing that because, of course, now everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody behind him is they're all wearing a mask. He's not wearing a mask, of course. Now, all the people who are behind him, I have no idea who these people are. They're just a bunch of people. I don't know if it's people from Parliament. I don't know what it is. They're all just kind of staring off into oblivion. And I don't get it. But here we go. This is.
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns.
Oh, good. Clappy, clap, clap, clap. Yeah. Oh, good for you.
As a further part of this new legislation, we're also fighting gun smuggling and trafficking by increasing maximum criminal penalties and providing more tools for law enforcement to investigate firearm crimes. And we'll require the permanent alteration of long gun magazines so they can never hold more than 5 rounds. We recognize that the vast majority of gun owners use them safely and in accordance with the law.
But we're going to take them away from
you. Other than using firearms for sport shooting and hunting, there is no reason anyone in Canada should need guns in their everyday lives.
No reason.
And Canadians certainly don't need assault-style weapons that were designed to kill the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time.
You ever had a home invasion, sir? Now, keep in mind, this is a gentleman who, this is a man who has armed guards surrounding him all the time. He does not live in fear of an attack. He's not responsible for defending his family from a home invasion or from somebody who's busting into his home to do who knows what. This is the gentleman. Boy, I keep using that term. I'm overusing it. I take away from all the gentlemen out there. Sorry. This is the insane lunatic that was going after people for donating to a cause to protest, freezing people's bank accounts. And he has the audacity to call other politicians dictators like Hitler or Nazis. This is the definition of fascism, my friends. And you're seeing it unfold before your very eyes. To the applause of his supporters. I don't know who was in the room. I don't know who was invited to this meeting. They always make it sound like, look at all the support. Everybody's just clapping for this. Nobody's saying boo. Who knows who was in that room? Now, later on, when we talk about the FBI and the Sussman trial, you're going to see, I'm going to try to show you some of the background stuff that goes on with the theater of politics. You cannot trust anything that these people do and say, obviously. So now, all of a sudden, you're supposed to defend your home. But you can't use your gun because that's only for sport shooting and hunting. This is where this goes. You know, there are countries where if you use a gun to defend yourself in your home from an attacker, you will be charged with assault or possibly murder if you kill the individual. Well, we're going to crack down on gun smuggling and that kind of thing. Yeah. Now, this happened. This went on in England, by the way. In fact, the police didn't even carry guns. They were called the bobbies. They didn't. All they had was their nightsticks that they could beat you with. They didn't have to carry a gun because nobody had guns. But they still had a big stick. They could just whack you with. And they knew how to use it. They were highly trained individuals. And there were multiple ones that would show up to get you. Of course, you couldn't defend yourself because you had no gun. So it was kind of a gentleman's gang, if you want to call it that. Now, of course, they wouldn't do anything, you know, corrupt or anything like that. That wouldn't happen. So all of a sudden, the knives came out. There were certain immigration individuals, people who immigrated into the country, who were kind of well-trained with knives, started attacking people, started killing police, started attacking people on the street, randomly. And there was other terrorists and other types of crime that started to happen. So guess what? I guess we need to arm the police now. Now, I'm not sure that all the Bobbies are armed, or any of the Bobbies are armed, but they do have special forces, special teams, you might say, that do carry weapons. Well, we only call them out on special occasions. Well, because we're sophisticated, we only get the whatever. How often do you have to use those there, buddy? Quite often, because the people aren't armed themselves, so they can't defend themselves. So you, now what they're finding is they're basically just showing up and doing paperwork, because by the time they get there, it's too late. This kind of leads into the whole shooting that happened in Texas, by the way. There was another shooting, by the way. Man with an AK-47, or might have been an AR-15, I don't know which. It's a tactical weapon that he went to use and was going to apparently shoot up a bunch of people. Had apparently plans to do this whole thing. He pulled out the gun, started firing. I think he started firing. And some lady who happened to be a armed citizen killed him. Stopped it. This just happened the day after the shooting. Right about the time the same shooting happened down in Texas. Game over. The news isn't talking about it at all. They always like to talk about, well, this could have happened. This would have been so much worse. If we weren't wearing masks, it would have been worse, much, so much worse. We had millions and millions more people would have died if we weren't wearing masks, if we would have hadn't locked the country down. There's always the straw man thing. That's always the what if. Oh, we know this because we imagine how bad it would have been if without the masks. Okay. That's your speculation. That's not science again. But you got to believe the science. What's science? If it is science, then you should be able to tell me exactly the percentages. Not just imagine how bad it would have been. What does the actual science say? Let's see the studies that show. Of course, the studies didn't show it. So because cloth masks, guess what? Don't do anything. So they eventually came out with the fact after all this stuff, but when it was pretty much blown over. Well, guess what? Cloth masks don't actually do anything at all.
Another layer, you know, couldn't hurt.
Why don't you just pile about 5 layers on there, Fauci? Pretty much everything kind of... It's just hard to know what to believe. Hard to know who to believe. And the reality is... You need to believe yourself. You need to kind of do some thinking on your own. I know it's hard. It makes my head hurt for me to think. But let's look at this for what it is. This is a leadership team here with Trudeau that is scared out of their wits because they saw what happened with the truckers. Now, the truckers were just everyday, average working folk who wanted to keep working. They wanted to keep doing their job. They couldn't do their job because the government shut them down. They were losing everything. They were desperate. So they decided to have a protest. Not a violent protest. Just a protest. Let's go park our truck. We've got to park them somewhere. Might as well park them down there and let you deal with them. Just look at all the trucks that are going to sit here for a while. They were vilified. They were called Nazis. They were called despicable people by their elected official. Oh, but don't worry. He'll be elected again, I'm sure, because, you know, votes. Not the number of votes that count. It's the people who count the votes. So that's what's happening in Canada right now. As they take away your... Now, you see, they can't... This is why the Second Amendment is so critical, folks. This is why our leaders... Now, I've heard Joe Biden say, well, the Second Amendment keeps... We can't do anything because of the Second Amendment. Whenever Joe says anything, the opposite is probably going to happen. So he comes out and says stuff, you know that the opposite's going to happen, which just terrifies the daylights out of me when he says some of the things he says, because I know the opposite's going to happen. Whenever he comes out with some kind of reassuring statement, I know that's not going to happen. Just the opposite's going to be true. We're going to put sanctions on him. They're going to hurt him really bad. Well, the sanctions are never meant to stop him from going into Ukraine. Oh, what were the sanctions for then? To make it hard on us? What exactly is going on here? So there's that. There's the whole Canadian thing going on. And just the warning of this is where these people want to go. Now, I would say that they are, in terms of progressives, they are way far away, ahead of us with the progressive agenda, obviously. Now, having said that, we have a leadership group here who wants us to follow down the same path. The only thing standing in the way is the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment protects us from all the other amendments, believe it or not. Once they take, look at what happened to the protest. They were pretty much locked down anyway on guns. It was very difficult to get a weapon in Canada. Of course, now it's not going to be possible even to, if you have a sight, basically if you have a handgun now, you're going to be considered a nefarious individual. The vast majority of people who own guns are law-abiding citizens. Then why are you banning this then? So we have that going on north of us here from the States. And then we have what's going on at the south. I'll get into the shooting that happened down there a little later. So I really want to break into what's going on with the Sussman trial. Now, for those of you who don't know, and I'll try to give a synopsis. This trial has been going on for a couple weeks, which is really kind of bizarre. Now, here's something else that's a little bit bizarre. Speaking of trials, this whole Johnny Depp thing. This thing went on for, at least a month? How many, is it just defamation, I think, is all it is, isn't it? How many defamation trials do you know of that went on for more than a month? This thing's, it seems like it's been a year, but maybe it's been less than a month. I don't know. It seems like it's been going on forever. And this should have been over in like a day or two. Like, okay, one day was Johnny, next day was Amber, and then the next day was they deliberated and it was over. This thing has been theatrical ridiculousness. Talking about all kinds of stuff that I don't want to know about. I don't know that it's pertinent to the jury. It's defamation. Not defecation. It just seems really odd to me. That it's gone on so long, but I digress. This is another trial, the Sussman trial thing. Okay, so he lied to an FBI agent. That's what this is all about. The bottom line is he's accused of lying to an FBI agent, and it's a material lie. It's something that's. Now I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor, CPA. Can't even spell CPA, and I'm not a life coach. I'm not a Whole Foods shopping center aisle worker guy. I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions, and I'm going to throw them out there for you to do with what you want. It's all up to you. It's all on you. The Sussman trial, this goes deep into the deep state and what all is going on there. Now, I want to be very clear. A lot of what I'm saying here is speculation, but it's certainly very, very suspicious Now, I wish I could remember all the ways these things are connected, and I should have drawn all this out at some point. I probably did, actually, on one of my shows, but this thing's been going on for so long that I don't really remember exactly how it all fits together. But I just know that there's a whole, and that's kind of part of their plan, too. They drag this stuff out forever so that people forget how this all went. And then they overwhelm the system with all, the Johnny Depp trial so that we don't remember. So it gets confusing. Was that in the Sussman trial or was that in the Johnny Depp file? Did Sussman poop on somebody's bed? What happened here? I don't know. So Sussman apparently goes to the FBI. Now, Sussman apparently also was at one time an FBI informant. He actually had a badge, I guess, with the FBI. He wasn't an agent, but he was an informant. He was some kind of a connected guy there. Now, he no longer was. You know, he wasn't in that capacity anymore, and he ended up getting this meeting with, I think it was James Baker, who was at that time some high up in the FBI, and just waltzes right in. I don't know if he waltzed or if he do-si-do'd. I don't know what point of the dance he did when he went in the door, but he went there to talk to this guy who anybody else would not have been able to get a high-level meeting like that. High-level, keep that in mind. Bypassed the field agents. Went straight to upper management. I have this information that you might be interested in as a concerned citizen here. Now, Durham has been digging into this for quite some time now. I believe he was appointed after 2020 election. Now, first, right up front here, I want to be very clear. Fusion GPS is involved in this. Fusion GPS is an organization that, where did I find this? I think I just typed in. If you just look at what this organization is, here, this is actually a pretty good video. Maybe it's worth playing this audio for you. This is. And again, I'm going to try to do this faster so that we don't have to. Yeah, let's go with this faster version again. It's about a 3-minute long video, but I think it's helpful to know what is going on here, understand what Fusion GPS is.
GPS was founded by former investigative reporters, and it claims it provides premium research, strategic intelligence, and due diligence services to corporations.
Okay, keep that in mind. It was formed by, let's listen to that again, because this is very critical.
And it claims it provides premium research.
Now let's come back here.
Fusion GPS was founded by former investigative reporters.
Okay, former investigative reporters founded Fusion GPS. Former investigative reporters. Okay. Keep that in mind. This is Fusion GPS, former investigative reporters. Now, when you think of investigative reporters, you think of mainstream media, the people in the news that make the news, not the people who report the news. Let's continue to listen to this.
And it claims it provides premium research, strategic intelligence, and due diligence services to corporations, law firms, and investors.
Okay, so it provides intelligence to all these different organizations, right? Strategic intelligence and due diligence services. What's due diligence services? Premium research, strategic intelligence, and due diligence services to corporations, law firms, and investors. Now, corporations could be something like, well, I don't know, somebody's campaign. Law firms that work for people's campaigns. And investors who invest in people's campaigns. Now, you have to understand the shady, slippery thing that's going on here. Keep in mind that I believe it's Nellie Orr, who works for the FBI. I believe it's his wife, and I don't remember her name. And I cannot, you'd be surprised at how scrubbed this guy is from the internet. You have a hard time finding anything out about Nellie Orr and Fusion GPS and the connection that is there. Nellie Orr, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Nellie Orr who works for the FBI and his wife runs Fusion GPS. It's either that or the other way around. Nellie Orr runs Fusion GPS and his or her wife. There's a marriage there. You're telling me that it's just happenstance and that there's no information change there. There's nothing going on under the covers, under the table. That might be a bit of a conflict of interest. This just seems a little too close, as they say, bedfellows, to think that this is an organization that provides premium research, strategic intelligence, and due diligence services, whatever that is, to corporations, law firms, and investors. Now, keep in mind, the Hillary campaign went to their lawyer. Sussman was not the main lawyer. There's another guy named Ali, whatever his name is. I don't know what his name is. The head guy there. Who forgot everything when he was brought up on stage and asked questions. He didn't remember anything. Guy's a brilliant lawyer. Can't remember anything. Okay, I do a lot of cases. I don't know. I remember anything. Yeah, you do a lot of cases. Yeah. The lawyers that work for you do all the cases. You only do the high profile stuff, and this is one you were involved in heavily. You can't remember anything about it. Now, keep in mind, the co-founder of Fusion GPS is heavily involved in MSNBC. Heavily involved. He's I don't know if he's on the staff or not, but he's definitely a contributor. He has been on the shows that you would recognize. Fusion GPS is not your friend. Okay, so what they do is they go out and they get opposition research is what they're supposed to do. They get opposition research. Now, you have to remember what opposition research is. It's dirt on your opponent. This is a political, primary politically, they focus on political candidates getting dirt on their opponents. Now, they don't care whose opponents they are. They make big money doing this. They don't care if Donald Trump comes to them and asks for dirt on their opponent or if Hillary Clinton comes and asks for dirt on their opponent. Now, unfortunately, there is a bent that these people have. They do have a political agenda, and they are more likely to come up with political dirt on certain people's opponents. And obviously, they were willing to fabricate political dirt on Donald Trump through the person of Steele, from Britain, former intelligence operator, former spy in Russia. Hadn't been there for 10 years, 15 years, but he somehow comes up with this dossier that he created out of thin air. Probably from stories he'd heard in the field. That's my guess. Or maybe it was just things that were in his own imagination because he's a pervert. So the guy comes up with this phony GPS, phony story, sells it to Fusion GPS. Now, you got to keep in mind, folks, these people don't work for free. These people get paid a lot of money for what they're doing. This money is coming from somewhere. And as they say, follow the money. So what we have here, we have this thing happening where there's a lot of money flowing. Now, keep in mind, well, where did they come up with all this money? Oh, maybe $40 billion to Ukraine. We'll just skim off $1 billion of that. Keep this thing flowing, keep it going. Keep the machine well-oiled. Keep all the palms greased. Yeah, when there's money like that sloshing around, folks, there's no accountability to where it's going. And when you try to get them to be accountable to it, Rand Paul tried to have accountability by assigning an inspector general over the thing. No, we're not going to do that. Not even the GOP stood up for that. McConnell didn't even stand up for that. And McConnell was the one who pushed Biden to do this as a sole money laundering scheme. And Biden had to consider it. And 5 minutes later, he called him back. Yeah, we're going to do that. Didn't take him long to figure that one out. But now all of a sudden it's this bipartisan thing because it's supposed to be, it's so important that we do it. Well, it's so important because McConnell recognizes what's going on. He's got his buddies over there too. These people are not exactly pure as the driven snow. So let's listen to this a little bit more.
Law firms and investors. Fusion's many clients have included a Republican donor and a law firm. The donor was concerned about the rise of Donald Trump and wanted opposition research on the businessman.
The Washington Free Beacon, which is funded by the GOP, donor Paul Singer, in October of 2015, gave money to the law firm to come up with opposition research on Donald Trump. The law firm needed help with research to defend a Russian company.
The law firm needed help with research to defend a Russian company in litigation. It seemed straightforward enough, but actually got very confusing. Let's start with the opposition research. The Republican donor dropped out. Fusion hired former MI6 agent Christopher Steele.
So the Republican donor dropped out. How convenient. Mark Elias, that's the guy's name, lawyer for Clinton campaign. That's the guy who apparently just lost all memory, got Alzheimer's all of a sudden on about anything to do with any of this stuff. He couldn't remember. He'd be an asshole and say, I can't remember. I don't know. I don't recall any of that. Christopher Steele is the guy who was from Britain. He's the former intelligence officer from Britain. Let's keep on going.
Their efforts. His research largely focused on Trump's business dealings in Russia. He eventually produced a salacious dossier that suggested the Kremlin could blackmail President-elect Trump.
Which, by the way, he was hired to do research. However, this research, it was completely made up. All this stuff was made up. And that's what's being brought out now in this whole thing, is that none of this was true. The FBI knew on its face when they got it that it wasn't true, but they continued to use it.
The dossier made its way to reporters, the FBI, and members of Congress.
Now, keep in mind, this is the dossier that James Comey went to the president with and said, this is the kind of stuff that's out there. See, we're here to protect you. So you need to play ball with us. You need to behave because, you know, we could release this stuff. I'm shaking you down right now and you don't even know it. Or maybe you don't realize it, but maybe you do and you're going to fire me in about 5 minutes.
At the same time, Fusion was hired by a law firm, Baker & Hostetler, to help support in the defense of a Russian company. Hermitage Capital Management was the alleged victim and is headed by William Browder.
Now, this whole lawsuit that was going on behind the scenes in Russia, this is because of all the corruption that was going on over there. Now, you have to keep in mind, the one thing that's absent in all of this stuff, everybody brings up Hillary all the time. The one person who's absent in all of this context, everything that's going on with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and all these people, guess who's not touchable at all in any of this? Apparently had no idea any of this was going on under his nose, which he either is incredibly stupid or he's incredibly corrupt. And they are protecting him with everything by just not talking about it at all, and that is Barack Obama. keep in mind, he was the president while all this was going on. Now, do you think if all this was going on and Donald Trump was president, they wouldn't be blaming him for everything? I guarantee you, Obama knew what was going on. There's no way he could not have known what was going on here. He has the power to fire anybody at the FBI. I worked for a church one time. Here's an example. I worked for a church one time. I was a part-time employee. I was in charge of, overseeing some things. And in the process of this, there was a pastor who, it was kind of a mega church. It was kind of a large church. And the pastor there kind of was, there was a board, but it was kind of a, do I dare say it was a lackey board? It was kind of this board where it was a self-appointed board. In other words, the pastor appointed these board members. Nobody voted on anything. There was no democracy here at all. There was, that's fine. If you want to run it that way, that's fine. But I don't think people understood how the church worked in terms of how it ran. With church government. Church government's a very important thing, in my opinion. How you maintain accountability among church leaders, I think, is very, very critical. As the older I get, the more critical it is. Because people are people. The interesting thing about this was there was a, at one point, and I asked the pastor this at one point, I said, so you can walk into a meeting, in any meeting that goes on in this church, you can walk up to any leader in this church and you can fire them. Who can fire you? Nobody. There's nobody there that could fire him. Now, the people could turn against him and just stop coming to the church, or stop giving, or stop going to the church. But there's nobody that could just fire him from his job. There's nobody. There were no elders. There was nothing there that could step up. However you want to decide how you're going to run your church, but there was no body of oversight there. And in fact, the church itself was not a denominational church. It was an associated church. In other words, they just had an association name. Now, the association could have dropped their affiliation with them. But they couldn't fire the guy. Most of the time when you have a denomination, and you're officially in that denomination, like the Methodist Church, there's oversight there. And they can actually get rid of their pastor. They can actually fire the pastor. The oversight can step in and dismiss them. However, you cannot do that with an association like this. That's a little spooky. Now, I trust the guy. I don't think there was anything nefarious about the guy. However, he was on a bit of a power trip. One of his worship leaders who left basically told him on the way out the door, "You're the most controlling person I ever met." Which I think kind of hit him between the eyes because he didn't even realize it. I don't know if he remembers it. Probably doesn't. Probably went on to do his thing. But I left with that realization myself. I realized that, hey, this I just don't like the way this is set up. Well, I was basically asked to resign. That's the only place I've ever been fired was in a church. And it was from top down, not from people. So there's that. Now, keep in mind that you have these organizations like this. This Browder guy, who was an investor in William Browder from Hermitage Capital Management, there was this lawsuit going on between him and a Prevazon company over in Russia. Now, I'm not sure exactly how the whole this whole thing gets a little shady at this point in terms of, is this really a case or was this just something made up? There's some questionable acts going on here right now at this point. But so let's look at...
Browder was once a top investor in Russia, but he had a falling out with the Russian government. So he hired Sergei Meninsky, who was a Russian tax accountant, to investigate the alleged theft from his Russian companies. Meninsky was arrested and died in prison in 2009 under suspicious circumstances. His case led to the passage in 2012 of the Sergei Meninsky Act, which imposed sweeping sanctions on Russia. This led Russia to block U.S. parents from adopting Russian orphans. Now here's where the two storylines merge.
Yes,
Baker & Hostetler, the law firm, was also involved in a lobbying campaign against the Meninsky Act. And information that Fusion GPS uncovered to support the Russian company made its way into that campaign. This crisscross of information led Browder to file a complaint with the Justice Department, accusing Fusion of failing to register as a lobbyist for foreign interests.
So it's because of technicality. Not registering as a lobbyist is kind of a bogus charge. It's something they get people on all the time, because if you happen to be involved in any kind of persuasion, they'll call you a lobbyist. And that's where this has come from. This whole thing gets a little bit muddled and cloudy. And you can understand, as you're listening to this, you can kind of understand this is very muddled up and kind of cloudy. And it's designed, but it's almost by design to be confused. Or confusing, which kind of makes you wonder, why is this so confusing? Why the public isn't, the general public is not going to, their eyes are going to glaze over when you start talking about this stuff, which is why your eyes are glazing over now. So I'm talking about it. We'll just keep
Fusion
going.
Says it's working, I like seeing your related lobbying. To the lawsuit, not the lobbying. Meanwhile, people who were associated with the anti-Meninsky lobbying effort did meet with members of the Trump campaign, including Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, and then-campaign manager Paul Manafort.
Now, Manafort was, in my opinion, a sleazeball. I never liked Paul Manafort from the beginning. I'm not exactly sure how he got involved in the Trump campaign. Now, this whole thing about the adoption thing, this was an issue. Somehow the Trump campaign was involved in the whole issue of trying to roll back the whole Russian adoption thing. Because there's a lot of children in orphanages in Russia, and Americans were adopting them, and they were trying to turn that back. The Trump campaign had interest in turning that back. So that's the whole reason there's a lot of shady things going on here in terms of people who are trying to entice the Trump campaign into having meetings and trying to tie them to something. So this is how they're trying to make these connections. And this just has all the markings, in my opinion, you know, how the FBI said, well, this has all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. Well, they would know, because they're very good at planting that kind of stuff. It was about this time, about 2009, 2008, that there was an announcement made that our government had the ability to plant information electronically that made it look like it was coming from Russia. I don't know why they would even, they've had that ability for a long time. So they were just now coming out with this, because I think it got leaked by Snowden or one of those individual or WikiLeaks or somebody. It was either Assange or Snowden that came out with this whole thing that was what was going on. So here's more of this.
In other words, Fusion GPS was working on behalf of Russian-linked interests at the same time they were investigating Donald Trump.
Interesting, isn't it? Fusion GPS was working for Russia at the same time they were investigating Donald Trump,
which would be against Russian interests. But hey, this is Washington. It may not look pretty, but hired guns work for whoever pays the bills.
That statement is, they'll work for whoever pays the bills. Like I said, they'll work for either side. However, there is a bias. Now, consider how the FBI operates. The FBI operates by doing investigations and then never doing anything with it, i.e. Hunter laptop. They knew all about it. They had it in their possession. They lied to the people that came. When they came to get the hard drive from the individual who had, because there were more than one hard drive, actually. When they came to get those things, The guy who they were coming to get them from, they said, we're going to come and make a copy of those. We just want to make a copy of those. They showed up with a subpoena to take them and anything else they wanted, any kind of electronics they wanted, took from this guy. They didn't do anything what they said they were going to do over the phone before they came. Now, shouldn't they be charged with lying to the people? Why is it a crime to lie to the FBI, but it's not a crime to materially lie against the people that you're interrogating? That blows my mind. However, that's what happened. That's what happened there. Now consider this for a moment. With all this going on, and now we have Nellie Orr working for the FBI, married to the person running Fusion GPS. Do you see where this is kind of going here? In the meantime, the Hillary campaign hires Fusion GPS knowingly, knowing that they are a friend of the Democrats. I'm sure that they've used them many times. This is not Fusion GPS's first rodeo here, folks. They've been doing this for a long time. They're known for doing this kind of stuff. They're not just wading in, dabbling in, starting their political investigations going on. So do you think that maybe the FBI, having a marriage tie to Fusion GPS, do you think there's any possible way they could possibly be getting information back channel through that thing into the Fusion GPS part of it? Do you see how maybe this whole thing is corrupt from the core, from the top here, in upper management? When you have Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, Jim Comey. Do you understand how all these people are in on this? So this Sussman guy has this information, this dossier, and he wants to take it to the FBI. Well, the FBI tried to play their cards in a way that they could get away with this whole thing. It went straight to the top, straight to James Baker. Not through a field agent. So there's no paperwork. There's no paper trail here going from one to the next till it gets there. He goes straight to Jim Baker and tells him about all this stuff. And he gets, supposedly he's asked, was he asked the question or did he just tell them, I'm here on behalf of myself. I'm not on behalf of any client. Now, Sussman, apparently, according to the records that were presented in the trial, goes back and bills the Hillary campaign for the time he spent giving this information. And yet he said he wasn't working on behalf of any client. But he's billing it to a client. The thumb drives or hard drives or whatever he got to put this information on was also billed to the Hillary Clinton campaign. They're paying for all this. The money is coming from the Clinton campaign. They're working in absentia for her. She's just as culpable, in my opinion. She directly, according to one witness, gave the go-ahead for this whole thing. And then turns around after the election and starts accusing the Russians. This is all part of a Russian plot. She was the one who introduced it. The first time I heard it, I thought, what are you talking about? You're insane. But then all this information started coming out because she knew about it, because this was part of the plan. And you're telling me that the FBI is going to stand back and say, well, we didn't know that this was happening on behalf of the Hillary campaign. If we had known that, we would not have investigated this. We would have investigated it differently. We wouldn't have gone into this investigation because we would have known that it was part of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and so we would not have done it. No, of course not. Plausible deniability. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. We wouldn't have done it. Now keep in mind, Strzok is also a contributor for MSNBC. This whole thing. I see a clip here of him on Strzok calls out Durham's Russia scandal investigation for pushing pro-Trump narrative. This was about 6 months ago. He was on Rachel Maddow. Schiff, by the way, this is another report here. Schiff met with Fusion GPS co-founder last July. This was 3 years ago. Adam Schiff is the one who was the biggest pusher of the, well, all the evidence is in plain sight. It's very, he was the biggest promoter of this entire Russia Trump thing. Will anything happen to him? That guy should be, if anybody should be censored, it should be that. He certainly should not be on the Intelligence Committee. Neither should several other people that are on there for various reasons. This thing has corruption to the highest levels here. Now, this is why knowing that their end is near, this is the enemy. Every time the, well, there was a pastor down in, speaking of pastors, there was a pastor down south somewhere, basically got up in front of his congregation. He said, if you're a Democrat, get out of my church. He said, there's no way you can vote Democrat and be a Christian. This is what the guy was saying. He's like, he's mad. He's just furious. And he goes through a whole list of reasons. And he said, if you are one, get out. Just get out. I don't even want you here. And you know, it, as he was saying it, it brought me to tears. That is such a sad state we've reached in this country. But I have to say, I'm just disgusted by the platform of the Democrats. I'm disgusted by it. Just, there's no moral standard at all other than what they think is moral and all they care about. Their biggest issues are some of the most ungodly, unbiblical things on the planet. But I digress. I'm not saying I agree with what the guy did, with what the pastor said, but I, at the same time, I certainly empathize with his frustration and his anger. The concern I have now in this whole process is that the election's coming up. They know they're going to lose. What are they going to do? I'm concerned that they're so desperate. They've convinced themselves of this monster that is the GOP. First, it was just Trump. He's this monster, and anything to stop the monster is justified because he's a monster, right? We got to stop the monster. Doesn't matter what we do. Anything's justified. Anything's acceptable. Lying, cheating, stealing, killing, whatever we got to do. We can't have the monster in power. He's in power because they see power. They see elected official as a powerful person. They're in charge. They're the king. They're our God. Can't have them as our God. Little g, God. And they're getting desperate. What they've been willing to do in the past, and now the brazen attitude they have right now with just being able to just be being willing to just brazenly lie because the end justifies the means. This is, again, it comes down to that. I've said this If I've said it on this show 10 times, I've probably said it 100 times. So, I mean, it's the end justifies the means with these people, and that's all they care about is the end. And the end is they have to be in power because they know what's best for all of us. It's not for us to decide. It's for them to decide, you know, because they're a democracy. So that's where we are right now. That's the state we're in at the moment. I was going to talk more about the shooting down in Texas, but I think I'm going to hold off on that because the show's gotten kind of long so far. And there's things tied to that that are totally not connected to anything else that I've talked about today. So let's just say that my heart goes out to all the victims' families of what happened down there. And I hate to say it, but you were let down. You were let down by the agencies that were there, the system, the rules, the lack of diligence on so many levels. However, that being said, this whole thing was such a random event. No one could have foreseen something like this. It was a very peaceful, sleepy town that happened to have a very deranged, disturbed individual in it. How this kid was able to pay for all the ammunition and the guns he bought, I have no idea where he got the funds for that. 18, 19-year-old kid with that kind of money. Seems a little odd. I'm not saying conspiratorially. I'm just saying he had to have stolen the money. Kids like that don't save their money. They don't save up $4,000 or $5,000. I don't know where he got the money. Stole a credit card. Stole cash. Who knows what he did there. But somehow he got the money. Bought this thing. But I digress. Again, thoughts, prayers go out to those who've gone through all this. Now, what's going to happen with the Sussman trial? I believe it's going to be a hung jury. Turn the music back down. I got one more thing to say. A bumper music started coming in. I'm taking an executive charge of this now. The Sussman trial. I believe there are people on the jury, at least one person on the jury, that is a plant that will hang this jury. I don't think this guy's going to go down. Now, if it doesn't work out that way, you're probably going to see some people doing some more desperate things. Because there's going to be more singing, I think, involved. There's going to be some people, more investigation terms, going to continue to probe up the ladder here. And I think that his end game, now, I don't know, maybe Sussman's just going to be the scapegoat. Oh, we got one. We got this guy. He lied to the FBI. Okay, that's it. We say we charged somebody now. It's over with. I'm going to close down the investigation. Because again, they just want to investigate all that they can, find all the dirt that they can on people, pack it away. Maybe Fusion GPS will come up with it. How'd they end up with it? Well, they just, you know, they worked really hard and did a lot of research. Found some opposition research for their, you know, the other candidates, and they sell it to other people. Make a lot of money. There's a lot of money flowing there. Yeah, this is, you can't tell me there's no tie there. All right, bring on the bumper music. I hope that you all had a good weekend, that you all spent some time in memorial yesterday, realizing the cost that some have paid, the price that some have paid for the cost of our freedom. and how that has been somewhat, well, taken advantage of or taken for granted, I think, by some politicians and the way they wrap themselves in the flag occasionally. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing. Thanks for being with me this morning. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. God bless.